Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news is sure.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Go. 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Go.
We should go. Hey, Alan.
But just not here.
Welcome back to me.
Well, thank you. Nice.
Welcome back to me. Where were you?
Welcome back to us.
I decided I needed to learn how to appreciate Florida more than I already appreciate.
Oh. So what'd you do? You traveled to
Alaska? So I went to New York for a weekend. Okay. 5 degrees, 20 mile an hour winds.
Oh.
It was kind of chilly. Can you believe that?
I heard that.
You
heard that? I have a lot of clients in New York.
Yeah. Well, you know, you still had the, you know what happens is, I've been in Florida for 41 years.
Yeah, that's a
lot. And you know, you really end up taking this for granted, which is sad. Because Florida is such a gift. It is such an absolute gift. So after spending the weekend in New York, I decided to get more intelligent and went to Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, my God.
I know. Mm. And now it was the front came through there and it got down to zero, which was perfect. And, you know, I'd forgotten that when cars get cold, you can't open the door.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you try to pull in a car's
and
door's
windshield
frozen.
Wipers freeze and you can't clean that. You can't get the
So then I got in the car and I let it run forever. Well, the windows wouldn't go down for about a half an hour. Do you remember this is coming back?
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then we drove this car back from Kansas City to Florida. So I waited for that front to go through, left the next day figuring, you know, we'll follow it. It'll be, it's cold, but it's clear. No snow, you know, the roads are good. Well, we caught up with it in Kentucky.
Oh, you caught
up. 6-8 inches of snow, snowing like crazy. And we were on the interstate, 50 miles from Nashville, Tennessee, and a big semi decided to jackknife and take out 10 cars and block the road for overnight. Mm. So we sat 3 hours, which was fun. Then we backtracked. We finally got off of that. Then we tried to find a restaurant. Do you realize restaurants don't like being open when you can't get into them because of the snow?
Mm. Well, that's a shame.
Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
Then you just look at motels and say, I don't think I can get into the door without parking out on the road and getting run over by a who knows what. It was
fun.
Thank you, Lord. I'm in Florida.
Yeah, I hear you, Joe.
It really sunk in. And I mean, I'm born and raised in Michigan, like you're in New York. I mean, we take for granted, it's sad, and how magnificent Florida is.
You know, Minnesota in the winter, below zero, they have engine warmers for the cars. You plug in these like blankets.
We had those in Michigan.
Blankets. You fit over the engine just to warm it up.
Well, we actually had, you had a thing you used to plug into the oil crankcase, and you run a cord to the wall, and you would heat the oil.
Yeah.
Now, you know, different world. You know, now I've got a car in Florida that I can start from remote and turn the heat on or turn on the AC.
Well, now you don't need the seat warmers either.
No. All right, folks, this is not why we're here, but I just thought I'd bring you up to speed because we weren't here last week. We did
the best of.
Did a best of. 1-888-221-8990. All right, class, write that number down. 888-221-8990. That's toll free from any place. We have Vince Rizzino, CPA, not only a regular CPA, which is hard to say that there's a regular CPA, but he's also a forensic CPA, a ex-college professor. In fact, I was talking to a person this week that'll probably talk to you, and because I you know, on my envelope I list all the people in the group, and she was asking me about everybody, And I, and you especially, she says, do you know a good tax man? I said, yeah, I do. He said, why is he good?
Why is he good?
So I said, well, number one, he's a CPA, which gives him the credentials, but he's also a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness, which is not that easy to do. And third, he was a college professor in New York. So I said, the man knows his stuff. And he's a straight shooter, good guy. So, and she has, it was a quite a substantial amount.
Was it substantial?
It's very substantial. That's more, three substantials means more than $50, right?
Okay. Yeah. Net worth is financial.
Net worth was way up there. Mm. Anyway.
So she's going to call me? Is that what you're trying to say?
Supposedly. We'll see how this works out. But we got talking about you especially, because her main consideration, she brought in three books full. She had inherited over $1 million in IRAs just alone.
Mm.
I mean, just alone, just that part. So it was, you know, here's a very substantial person, polo club, and, you know, the whole thing. So interesting lady. And she was very, very bright and asked a lot of questions. She showed me stuff they had. And she'd been misled only once or twice in their total portfolio, which wasn't bad.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, what really upsets people, because she's very bright, is when they're never told the whole truth. Mm. And this particular lady was not told the whole truth.
Like fees, surrender fees, all that stuff.
Well, you know, I've talked about this a bit. Trying to educate people about, quote, index annuities. Index. Now, an index annuity is a fixed instrument, mm-hmm. pays an interest rate. But then they kind of lead people to think they're in the market, but they're not. A fixed index annuity, you're not in the market, but they pay you interest, not dividend, interest, mm-hmm. based on an index. Let's just say the S&P 500. And then they'll have, say, fine, we'll pay you 40 or 50 or 60% of the S&P 500, but we'll put a cap on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have never seen one person yet explain that there was a cap. Now, her cap was one of the better ones. It was 4%. Mm. But that means last year when the S&P 500 made 25%, the most she could have made was 4. That's exciting.
Mm.
So, and when the S&P 500 has a 10% year, it would make 4.
But was she protected in the event of a downswing?
Of course. It can't go down. It can't go down. But literally, she can't make more than 4% a year. But what happens is this. In any of these contracts, you have the option of getting out of, let's say, in a different kind of contract where you're technically in the market. You can get out of the market with a phone call, bam, just like that, and be in cash, be in a money market account, which you're not going to have the volatility. Anyway, the key was, I'm not saying it was a bad product, but the point was she wasn't splained.
No splaining.
If you're not been splained to, they call those errors of omission. Remember those things?
Right. Which is just as bad as errors of commission.
Yeah, but does she, is it explained in writing where she has to sign an agreement?
Of course. But it takes 10 pages of reading to find it. And it's in legalized print. You know, all these contracts are written by attorneys for attorneys. They're not written for us consumers. I mean, she's talking to me, and I'm trying to find it. You know, I finally found it, but it took me about 10 minutes or so to go through the paperwork to find where she had a cap. And, of course, anyway, one of the things that I just don't like, and I read some articles in the paper recently, one of my competitors in town is against them also, but I think most people that I consider securities representatives are staying away from those things because nobody understands.
Yeah, there's liability there, I guess. Somebody claims that you didn't explain it to them.
What happens is all these companies make people sign 20 pieces of paper that they understand it. And people will sign papers. They don't need to understand. They just sign papers.
Well, you're talking to someone in the mortgage industry, so yeah, I totally understand.
I mean, when I was in real estate many, many years ago, I never went to a closing. We did projects, and none of my people went to closings. We had a title company.
Mm-hmm.
And the people would say, well, why don't you? And I said, well, here's the way it works. If you want to change one word in any of those documents, you're not going to close.
Right.
So here's what you do. There is one document that you'll sign that says if there's an error in your favor or not in your favor, it will be corrected. Mm-hmm. So I said, to go and sit there for 2 hours and read all, or 3 hours and read all these papers to say you cannot make a change, but you can walk out. Is that what you want? Well, no, I want to buy it. I said, okay, fine. Then just sign the 20 pieces of paper that are 3 inches thick.
Yeah. Well, we're in a point now, especially in the mortgage industry, when our application package, because of all the required disclosures right. we have to provide, is probably about 35 to 40 pages long.
Now, legalese.
Now, if you condense that into 5 pages, mm-hmm. people would read that.
Yeah, yeah.
You make it 40 pages, no one's going to read anything.
And it's not written in what we call English. It's written in legalese.
Did you ever download an application where you read the what they call the EULA, the End User Licensing Agreement?
Yeah. And you have to check, I agree.
I
but
never,
it's 12 pages. No, who actually reads that?
Well, if you want to get onto the site, you hurry up, just run down and check, I agree, because what are you going to do? If you read the whole thing,
you wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
you wouldn't. I had a client years ago. He said, Joe, do you ever read this stuff that I have to sign? And I said, yeah. And he says, how in the world would anybody sign it? And I said, everybody has to if they want to do business,
exactly.
because otherwise you can't do business. He said, well, my broker didn't make me do that. And I said, well, when's the last time you did business with him? He's about 20 years ago. And I said, things have changed a little bit.
Just a little.
And, you know, and Alan's an attorney. Alan Love, guest attorney, retired attorney from the great state of Wisconsin, prosecuting attorney. And you know what I'm talking about when it comes to this legalese.
Of course.
And if in order to justify your existence, now forgive me for picking on attorneys, you got to change things. You got to make it longer. You can't just say, okay, fine, it's fine. You ask an attorney his opinion, just get your checkbook out. He's not going to give you opinion that says everything's fine because he doesn't make any money.
I have a simple solution to it, but nobody will do it because it takes away the money that they get for putting all these documents together. The simple solution is have 1 or 2 pages of bullet points that says
that's what Mike
this
was saying.
Will yeah. affect your rights, and that would solve the problem. But there's too much money floating around. And speaking of money, things are going unbelievable on Wall Street. The Dow was up 322 points today.
Yep, yep.
26,115 is the new mark.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And the only thing I will say about it is none of us in this room and none of us on this planet know when the Dow is going to top out and have a correction.
Or what it's going to top out.
Right.
Well, I was at a 20.
But there,
I know. Dan was out of 15.
That's right, he was.
I said, "There's can't possibly go any higher."
You know, it's kind of ironic when we talk about that. Let me explain for you that are new listeners. Team Martech started doing radio shows back in 2004. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm called a stockbroker, a securities principal, lots of licenses. And basically, when I started to do the shows, I couldn't answer questions that clients would ask me about things that had nothing to do with investment, like insurance. So I met Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. And Dan, in my not too humble opinion, is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. Why? He's pushing 40 years in business, always right here. Under his umbrella are roughly 100 companies. And if one company falls out of favor, he can move you to another one. He's just done a magnificent job for most people. Then Greg Fasula, attorney. I needed an attorney. Why? Well, one of the first things I talk about to a new prospect or suspect is their cart and horse, putting them in the proper order, which means do you have a will or a trust? If you do not, I feel a bit responsible to stir the pot and make you start thinking about these things. And now if I'm going to recommend an attorney, I've got to find one that's user-friendly, competent, has high integrity, and not overpriced. And I will tell you, I've gone through many, many attorneys to find Greg Fasula, and he's probably the only attorney in the world that I know I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor. He's just a flat, good guy. And he has helped people. Many people he's helped and never charged him a nickel. I got a client of mine, and Mike, you probably understand this. She came to me and was carrying her trust documents, which were about 12 pounds. in beautiful bound books.
Is this the same lady you were talking about earlier, the significant wealth one?
No. No, this one's similar, though. So she called me from the parking lot and said, would you come down and help me carry this stuff in? So I came down and carried all these books in. She said, now here's what I want to accomplish. And I don't know that these documents do that or don't do that, but that's what I told the attorney. So I took them for the weekend, and I went through, and I made a one-page synopsis of what was going to happen. She says, well, that's not what I want. And I said, well, that's what it says. She goes, well, I need to change that. And I said, well, if you go back to the same guy you went to, he'll probably give you another book and charge you another who knows how much. I said, I would suggest you go to see Greg Fasula, because he doesn't do all this fluff. He does meat, and he just cuts it right to the quick. So Greg straightened her out, and he didn't charge her. And she said, why aren't you charging me? He says, because you'll be back. And it was a situation that he's just a good man. And again, that's probably the biggest compliment I can pay to anybody, is that they're a good person. So then, over a period of time, we added Vince Rizzino, CPA, critical, here we go again, taxes changing every day. Simple, easy tax code, only 60,000 pages, and now they've added another 30,000 or so.
Yeah, but it can be done on a postcard, though.
Well, I was telling Mike this morning that they haven't made a postcard big enough.
They haven't made one big enough. Well, if they took the whole side of the Empire State Building and did it in fine print.
Maybe then.
One card.
Could do a tax return.
They could do it. So the questions that come up that people have constantly to do with taxes, and because that changes constantly, there's so many different things. The subject of self-directed IRAs came up with another person this mm-hmm. week, where you can now go out, buy real estate, and do all kinds of stuff with
gold, silver.
Gold and silver. Yeah.
Do all kinds of stuff. Everything. Mm-hmm. And how it can be done. There's some rules that make it, that there's rules. But anyway, there was just other things that come up that are new every day. Then we also added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Why? Well, when that recession hit and the complexion of real estate changed so dramatically overnight, and the press and the media said things constantly that scared people to death that very often were not true. Can you imagine that? That things that happen in the media are not always true?
I thought everything was true you read on the internet.
I thought the internet. Bonjour.
Yeah, bonjour.
That's, you know, you remember that one, right?
No.
You don't really? You don't remember that one? Pastor Dave, no?
Well, because I don't remember a lot of stuff.
Well, anyway, this young couple, they're standing out on a sidewalk, and this girl's talking to this guy, and she says, well, I met this guy on the internet, and he's a French model, and he's going to meet me here, and we're going to go out to dinner. So here comes this guy with, let's put it this way, a little, how would I phrase this gently? A little awkward, and he walks up to her and he goes, bonjour. Bonjour. Okay. and it has to be so
he's less than truthful is what you're saying.
Less than truthful.
Yeah, everything you read on the internet is true.
So
bonjour.
Bonjour. Yeah, but you had to do it. And it sounded like he was straight out of
yeah, Central Casting.
Yeah, it was perfect. Anyway, so we get a little bit jaded, and I am such a cynic when it comes to almost anything that I read, print, or hear, that I go to extremes to find out who was the author and what's his agenda or hers. It's hard to find a person that's objective that will write something that doesn't have an agenda, which led us to Mr. Michael Pollis, who, when I was leaning with all of the media, was saying there is no mortgage money away, you can never qualify for a house, you can't get a loan. And Mike came along and said, that's not true.
No, we've had mortgage money all through the whole process. Now, things have certainly changed. Before, when we used to just take your pulse,
yep,
see if you had some life in you, we'd give you a mortgage. But now you actually have to qualify. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
You have to prove you can actually afford to make the payment. Can you imagine that?
Yes, but I can tell you this, that the loans that they've been making since the recession,
right,
have never performed as better as they have today. They have the highest performance ratios ever.
There's also something called a good economy. It doesn't
right,
hurt.
Exactly. Yes.
You keep your job, you make your payments. I think 99% of the people go out there and they don't intend to deceive anybody. They want to be good people, good citizens, make a living, pay our bills, etc. Mm-hmm. When all of a sudden temptation overrides, which it did during before the recession, and then two, all of a sudden unemployment shot up, people lost jobs, the whole system collapsed. There's always going to be medical emergencies and things that get in the way, but that's not the norm. That's the exception to the rule.
Correct.
So today, like we've always said, there's always been the USDA mortgage, which is a government mortgage, which is no money down if you qualify.
We've had that program for over 20 years now. It's 100% financing. Now, it's not available in every area, in every market, but like, for example, it's available all over Martin County.
Right.
You could do 100% financing. You can get into a house for $300,000-$400,000 with no money down payment.
Right. And like,
but there are income restrictions on that.
There's income restrictions, but they're pretty generous. For a household of four, it's upward of about $75,000-$80,000. For any household of five or more, it's $95,000.
So that means that's how much money you have to earn or less.
Correct. Right. That's the
to
income
go
cap.
Over that that cap.
You don't qualify.
Yeah, it's not meant for financing, you know, mansions on the beach.
No,
it's meant to service underpopulated areas like Martin County. Because it's
like,
well, you wouldn't think so in season nowadays. But when you look at the permanent population in comparison to the size of the
density
of
our county, right?
It goes by the density and it goes by the census tracts. And right now, it qualifies. So everywhere in Martin County, you could do 100% financing, and it's a great program.
Well, I was surprised to read there's only something to the effect of 160,000 people permanent residents
Martin County,
in Martin County.
Not
very large.
And
this
you have to think about that.
It's been an anti-growth county, period, forever. And this has been a fight politically forever. So we go to 1.5 million people in Palm Beach County and 250 or 300,000 in St. Lucie County, which is expected to double or triple. But 21 million, 22 million people in Florida now?
Yeah, it's over 20. We exceeded New York State last year, which was quite an accomplishment.
And now that these tax changes are in effect,
they're going to flood down here now.
It could change things dramatically.
I got two clients that's talking about it. They're getting out.
Hey, listen,
they're getting out.
And me just going up north to New York and then to Kansas City and thinking, Lord, please let me come back. Let me come back. I mean, boy, I tell you, it was cold.
Yes.
I mean, that was just flat, and I wasn't going skiing.
Did you wear your long
I was
johns?
Skidding on the interstate. But anyway, did I miss anybody?
No.
I think I talked about everybody.
See, you talked about Dan, yes.
Greg and Bernie and Mike, mortgages. Mike,
me,
and look, another program that's been around forever that I love.
How about Victoria Lloyd? You talk about
I
her?
Talked yeah. about her, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Real estate. But I tell you what, a program that we don't talk about often because there's a lot of ads on radio and TV about it, but a reverse mortgage I still think is one of the greatest things going for a person that makes it work. You can buy a house with it, never make a payment. You can take cash out of one, never have to make a payment. Now you got to maintain your house, you have to pay your taxes, and you have to pay your insurance, but boy, what a change of life. And you've seen it, Mike, directly, how many lives you have changed and made so much better with that reverse mortgage. And a lot of people still don't understand it. But it's I think it's
you know what I like to I have to equate it to a home equity loan. It's nothing but a glorified home equity loan on your house. The only difference is you don't have to make the payments to repay it.
Right.
You can if you want. If you want to make some payments on it, you can pay it down, and it's because it's an open line of credit, it becomes available for your future use.
Yeah. So let's say you get $100,000 and you pay off your house, and now you've got $10,000 left over and you don't take it, well, that's available in your line of credit for if you need to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pay it down another 10, then you might have now a $20,000 line of credit.
Now, you have to be aware that you have to have a tremendous amount of equity in your house in order to qualify for
50,
this program.
60%, right?
At least. You know, it's one of those rare things that it's the older you are, the better it becomes for you. So if you are 62, then you're probably looking at only being able to get about 45% of your equity out of the property. But if you're 72 or 82, then you're probably looking at a much larger percentage, maybe up to 70%.
Yeah.
We have to plug those numbers into the calculator.
Well, it has to do with life expectancy.
Yeah,
and as
life expectancies increase, then they have
go
to,
the other way
to,
a little bit.
They have to
make
adjust
changes. But regardless, that these are the rules, and if you qualify, you qualify. And I just I've seen. I had a lady up in Fort Pierce that born and raised, 80 years old, lived in Fort Pierce, never had air conditioning.
In Florida.
In Florida.
That's amazing.
And
I don't know how you do it.
She got a reverse mortgage, and she got central air put in. That person was the happiest person on that block ever. can you imagine, you know how hot it is in the summer?
Oh.
It's brutal. Mm-hmm. Now, think about the pioneers in this state, and I think about back before there was AC. Now, when you're a kid, you don't know any difference, but boy, the rest of the people sure did.
Yeah, and as the older you are, the more of a toll it takes on your body.
No kidding, yep. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. So we have sitting here today Vince Rosino, CPA, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, and Joe Martek, financial advisor. Any questions? And we have a itinerant, that's a not fair thing, I can't do that to you, Alan, a retired guest attorney from Wisconsin who's a guest of ours regularly now for the last year, and who contributes on occasion, and who helps keep
he's here every show, but he contributes on occasion.
On occasion. Well, a lot of times he falls asleep during the show, but I wouldn't pick on him if we bore him, right?
Well, that just means you have to be more entertaining.
I know. That's what he told me. He said, Joe, if you said something intelligent, I'd stay awake. Isn't that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, that's right. I think we should realize what's really happening here. We say the stock market hit an all-time high today, but look at the ramifications of how much money people have invested in 401k and employee retire. I mean, there is a tremendous punch that's going to hit this economy in a very favorable way for the next number of years. But one of the important things is protecting that gain, and there are many ways of protecting that gain safely. A lot of people make the mistake of just forgetting about their 401k they retire. And then they're missing tremendous opportunities because you don't have to take a 50% drop like we did in 08, 09 your portfolio.
There's ways to protect it.
Right.
In fact, speaking of ways to protect it, we've actually got a phone call, and I'll find out how we can protect it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, my name is Kathy from North Palm Beach.
Hi.
You were just talking about, how you doing? You were talking about reverse mortgages.
Right.
I'm trying to find out what happens when a person that has a reverse mortgage passes away. What's the option? The daughter, like myself, has, because my mother has one.
Okay, well, typically it goes to the heirs, and the heirs have to make a decision. The mortgage has to be paid off. One way or another. Normally what happens is the heirs will sell the property and the proceeds will be taken, paid off the mortgage, just like any forward mortgage. If you had a standard conventional loan, the property would get sold and that loan would get paid off. So in the rare situation where maybe the property won't sell high enough to pay off the mortgage, if you're upside down, for example, then the option would be just to turn it back to the bank and let them worry about it.
And there's no ramifications, no recouping. There's nothing wrong with the heirs doing that. It's a federally insured mortgage.
Yep.
It's a government mortgage. So, in many, many people during the recession, they may have gotten a reverse mortgage for, say, $100,000, and the property value turned down to $50,000, and they walked away, and that's perfectly legal. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and they can't go off after any of the assets of the estate either.
Okay, and what is the time frame that you have to, like, sell it or give it back to the bank?
Typically, you have up to about 6 months. It depends on each individual loan, when it was written, because all the terms, are constantly in flux. But, I've seen situations where the bank has given, the estate up to a year to sell it. The bank really doesn't want that property back. It's interested in working with you. Of course, it depends on the individual bank you're working with, and every scenario is different. But I think that you can honestly have about 6 months, and you could probably get another 6 months extension if you need. I really don't think that's the case in this market, though. I think a property would sell fairly quick in this market.
Yeah, normally the reverse mortgage that your mom might have taken out, unless she did it before the recession, and she did it during or after the recession, the property is probably worth more than she owes on it. So when your mom decides to leave the house or she dies, you kids would then say, hey, we either buy it and keep it for ourselves and get a new mortgage, or we sell it, pay off the mortgage, and any money that's left over goes to the heirs.
You know, and you know what? There's a clause in most reverse mortgages that says that in the case that you're upside down and the heirs still want that property, they can purchase that property. They can pay off that loan for 95% of the existing balance on that loan.
Okay. And do you suggest getting a lawyer, or you gentlemen, any lawyers that I could use? I don't know if you could tell me that on the air.
Well, let me ask you a question again. Your mom, is she still in the house, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is she imminent that she's going to be out of the house?
No, she's 91, and I'm her only daughter, and I'm just trying to find out what my options are.
Okay, now, do you think your mom is going to need assisted living at some point, or she'll have to leave the house at some point, or she's going to pass, one or the other? We know that, right? Are you there? Did I lose you? Must have lost her. Well, either she's...
So she could call back.
She could call back.
You know what I would suggest in a situation like that is, you know, find out what the property's worth. And you can do that through, you know, some online tools like Zillow. But probably the best person to call would be someone like Victoria to find out what the property's worth and then get it, then call the bank to see what's owed on it. And then if there's equity in the property, which there probably is in this market because property values have escalated over the last couple of years... If there's equity in it, then you just start planning to, you know, take advantage of that equity. Either sell the property at that time, pay off the mortgage and pocket the equity, or if you want to keep the property, then you just simply refinance it in your name.
Well, one thing we didn't talk about, which is the easy thing, according for a reverse mortgage to be intact, you have to live in the house. The person that took it out has to live in the house. So if mom's 91 and she had to move out of the house and go into a nursing home or whatever, that then forces you to pay off the mortgage, sell the house, do something, because the rules are you have to live in it. She has to live in the house.
It changes the residency status, Joe. So, yeah, that's the whole thing, is residency.
When
she's no longer her residence.
If it's a permanent move out of the house, then yes. But if it's a temporary move,
thing,
then that's
not required. If she's in a hospital or in recovery because she broke something, comes back, that's okay. Right. If it's a permanent move, at some point, the lender will notify you that you have to, the mortgage gets accelerated, they call it, and you have to pay it off.
And if that's the case, you really don't want to own that house anyway, because it incurs expenses.
Of course. 1-888-221-8990. But I think what Mike said, if you had questions about a particular piece of property and you want somebody to counsel you, Victoria Lloyd or Mike Polis are the two people that are most involved with these things. They'll counsel you over the phone, tell you what you need to do so you know what your options are. And the documentation that her mom took out and shows, it should show a mortgage balance. And don't they get a statement every month or so, Mike?
Sure, because you have to remember that balance is constantly changing, and normally it's going up because you're not making any payments, but the interest is still accumulating. So, you know, the longer you have this out, the greater the balance is going to be. So you have to, you know, do the math and just see what the property's worth, see what you can sell it for today, and see what your balance is and see how much equity you have.
Yeah, mom might have gotten 70 or 80% out if she took it out when she was 80 or so.
Yeah.
And then it depends when she did it, and because it was based on appraised value. And like you said, Mike, if she did it 5 years ago or 3 years ago or 2 years ago or even a year ago, the house is probably worth more, considerably more than it was then.
Yeah, and you know what? If you took a reverse mortgage out, you know, maybe in 2008, 2009, right during the recession when the property values were at their worst, you know, if you took a reverse mortgage out then, you might want to look at the possibility of refinancing that reverse mortgage, because you can refinance a reverse mortgage into another reverse mortgage and possibly take out some extra equity.
If mom was, but mom would have to live in it.
Correct.
Yeah. 1-888-221-8990. I'm glad I brought up the subject, because it's not something we talk about every week, but I've people sometimes worry about them because they've heard some negatives about reverse mortgages. And one of the big negative I've ever seen is that mom and dad get a reverse mortgage and they get a check for $50,000 or $70,000, and the kids find out, and mom and dad lose the $50,000 or $70,000 to the kids.
Yeah. Well, they've taken some precautions about that now. I mean, reverse mortgages had a bad rap for a while because of that, in one of those situations. And what happens is, nowadays, they'll only give you 65% of what you're entitled to in the first year, and you have to wait for the following year to get the rest out. That gives this, you know, the senior time to think about it and time to, you know, so they can make arrangements for those additional funds a year down the road.
But aren't they, don't you have to go to a training
counseling
yeah, before you ever take this?
It's one of the very few mortgage products out there that you have to actually get counseled on, and it has, and the counseling is through an FHA approved agency and someone who is not involved with the transactional, so they have no skin in the game. So they're going to give you the honest information, so you're not going to a salesperson and getting sold all the good things and not being told about the bad things, because I mean, in my opinion, but I'm biased, I like the reverse mortgage. I think there's far more good things than bad things on a reverse mortgage.
They've done wonderful things for people, and every case that I've seen, it's been a wonder. It changed a whole life. I had another client, two old people my age, maybe a little older, lived across the street from each other. She had money, he didn't. Both of them owned their houses. They were dating, and he hated the fact that she would buy something, because he was old-fashioned. He wanted to take her to dinner and do things, but he couldn't afford it. Now, this is goofy, but he got a reverse mortgage, and it changed his whole attitude, because he now had some spendable money that he could go and be the gentleman he was raised to be. I mean, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know,
all the difference in the world.
I don't have that problem. I'll let a woman buy anytime she wants.
Really?
Chivalry is dead. You know. Also, you know, one of the biggest arguments I come up against is when talking to people about a reverse mortgage. Now, you know, these folks are typically in their 70s,
right,
and their whole life they've been programmed to pay off their mortgage.
Right.
Mortgages are not a good thing. And now a younger person is here telling them that a mortgage is a great thing to have.
Right.
And you know what? It's, you know, that's what they believe, and I respect that. But I think you should know all the details about a reverse mortgage, how they work, and how it could benefit you. Because I do think that there's... It's a wonderful program for a lot of people.
The difference is, a lot of them, they reach those retirement years and they don't have sufficient savings.
There you go.
Get them through.
And they pay for that house forever.
That's right. So that was a notion, maybe that generation, to pay it all off.
Yeah.
Right. Because you couldn't wait to do that mortgage note burning, right?
Yeah,
that was
right.
A big thing. But then they saved. They were very frugal. They saved their money, nickels and dimes. It's different. The baby boomers are a total different generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm finding more. I think I read a statistic, Mike. You might know the answer if this is true. Something to the number of 60% of seniors over 65 years of age have mortgages. I found that to be
what's the percentage?
65%.
Yeah, well,
of mortgages.
It's a different world.
They're
today.
All seniors. I'm talking about those over 65 years of age.
It's a different world today.
I've been talking a lot today about protection, and reverse mortgage can be that. You know, what if somebody has a catastrophic medical situation? They got to pay a bunch of hospital bills, and they don't have the funds. Rather than hassle the creditors and worry about bankruptcy, you've got the reverse mortgage possibility.
There's lots of things. It's your money.
Yeah,
and it's like tax-free.
Like I said before, it's a glorified home equity loan. Just because you take a reverse mortgage out doesn't mean that you have to take any advances on it. And the beauty of a reverse mortgage is it's designed where if the whole concept is the property will go up in value in a regular standard market. And what they'll do is they'll expand your line of credit by 4% a year on the unused portion of your line of credit. So if you get a $100,000 line of credit, you don't use it, well, guess what? Next year it's going to be $104,000 that you have available for you. And they do that because they're anticipating the property values to go up.
Plus, if they only gave you 65% in the first place, if that's going up 3,
yes,
they're giving you 4, so that's a point swing there. Take you 65 years to break even on that deal.
But what happens down the road, you know, if you're counting on the equity in your property and you just say, well, if I need it, I'll take a home equity loan down the road. Well, what happens if you don't qualify for it? Maybe because your credit was damaged because you had a financial situation, or maybe your income situation changed and you can no longer qualify income-wise.
That's an excellent point, because they may not have it available to them.
It's a great protection tool, Alan, because you can put this in place and just not use it.
Yeah.
Now, once you qualify, Mike, if they're 65 let's say they're 65 years old and they go get this thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no re-qualification required, so they could keep that thing forever.
Yeah,
and how long is that?
As long as they live in the house.
As long as they live in that house. So exactly. They could be 80 and still live in there and take down that original loan.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? That's not true for standard home equity loans, because during the recession, when the banks found out that the values have fallen below what their line of credit was, they just shut those babies off.
Yeah.
Oh, they shut the lines of credit off. They can't do that on a reverse
And they
mortgage.
Can call them, too, home equities,
Absolutely,
can't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's not like a 10-year, here's the deal. A lot of the home equity lines were interest-only with the principal sitting, or you could pay the principal, but mm-hmm. at some point, the bank could say, hey, we want our money.
Right.
Well, Mike, if the rate's now, let's say, just use a number, 4% on a 30-year fixed,
mm-hmm.
what would be on a reverse mortgage?
It's higher. It's higher because, you know, the risk is a bit greater because the bank isn't getting interest payments throughout, and they want to get compensated for having that deferred interest paid to them.
Right.
So you're probably looking at about 0.5% to 0.75% higher. For that. And it's adjustable. So it's, you know, if the market continues to go up, the interest rates go up, then so will your interest rate on the reverse.
Now that interest accrues, but it's not paid until they sell the house at
Correct.
Some point.
So
you
they
can
get it
pay
back
it.
At the close. You can. You can opt to pay.
Yeah, I had a situation where someone couldn't qualify for a standard mortgage. We gave him a reverse mortgage. His intention was to pay it back, so he wanted to make payments on it, and he's entitled to do that.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you do pay it, ultimately it's deductible at that point, or whenever you pay it. That's interest.
888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. We have Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Alan Love, guest attorney, Pastor Dave being quiet and hiding over here in the corner.
You just woke me up. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What's a pizza?
What's a pizza? Yeah. Making me hungry now.
I know. It's a thing we were talking a little bit earlier. Alan was talking about the stock market, and here was something we talked about earlier today. Dan said he got out of the market when the market hit 15,000, and for a couple years before, now forgive me, I'm not trying to be political, but before Trump got elected, we talked regularly that the market was probably full, that it might be a problem, that the market could correct, the recession could come back again, and things look not really rosy. Then all of a sudden, the complexion changed. The attitude in America is extremely positive. Tax reform now has pumped millions of dollars into the pockets of people. Was it Walmart gave everybody $1,000 plus they increased wages, and many, many, many national companies. And in spite of some people poo-pieing that, let me tell you, you take a young working couple, if they get an extra $50 a week or $100 a month, that money goes into buying shoes for the kids or a pair of jeans.
And also, the parts of the tax law were geared toward the lower income and families. So, for example, they raised the child credit from $1,000 to $2,000.
There you go.
Hey, that's dollar for dollar. It's not a deduction. It's a credit.
Right.
So it's like them writing your check. So there are really good things that are going to be coming down the pike. The corporations got the biggest benefit here, but you can start already seeing the effects of that. Who was it that's moving their operation to Detroit? It was one of the majors.
Car company.
Fiat. Yeah. Fiat's moving.
Fiat Chrysler.
Right.
And so you're seeing things happen, and I think they gave bonuses to some companies there, but
Apple,
I think they're also going to hire.
They're
going to hire people.
$50 billion they're bringing back into America.
That's a different issue. I'm not even talking about that. Those are repatriated earnings.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the regular
jobs.
Interest. The tax rates have gone from 35% down to 21%. That's enormous.
But there's another thing that happened today, and you probably heard it. Apple and Amazon are both looking for other hubs to start new cities, new hubs, whole new things. 20,000 employees. I mean, every city in America is fighting over those. Those are high-paid jobs.
As long as they're not using the H-1B-1 visas and bringing the people over from Far East, hopefully we'll get some
Our current administration is not too hot on that. You know, that's
all part of this whole immigration
reform.
But isn't that where they have to invest here in order to get those visas?
No, those are different visas. I'm talking about the ones where you have to bring in skilled people because the companies say they can't get the skilled people here.
Right.
Okay, we had a caller, Michelle from West Palm Beach, called in and had a question about the new tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
Is it positive or negative for first-time homebuyers?
Well, they're not singled out. The first-time homebuyers, there's no specific benefit that's been accorded to the first-time homebuyers. But then again, they haven't taken away the 401k benefit either, where you can go in and borrow up to $10,000 for a first-time homebuyer. So that's, but there hasn't been anything specific to the first-timers.
The bottom line is the first-time homebuyer has the same programs that were in effect. No, there's been no change for those, right, Mike?
No, I mean, there were some programs out there that were funded by HUD that were down payment assistance.
Right.
Now, a lot of those funds have dried up.
Right.
I haven't seen too many of them around. A lot of the counties administrated those, and I haven't seen too many.
But FHA is 3.5% down, right?
Yeah, FHA is only 3.5% down. It doesn't take a great deal of money to get into a house.
So if you get a house for $200,000, that's $7,000 down. Mm-hmm. And if you get the seller to pay the closing costs, you got $7,000 out of pocket.
And that money can come from a gift from a relative.
Yeah, sure. Relatives can give you the money. You know, they have to prove that the relatives, you didn't steal it or something, but that's about all, right?
Yeah, as long as we can document where it came from. That's the biggest thing. When people transfer funds around, it just makes our lives a little bit difficult.
Yeah. Well, they just have to document where it came from. Drug money is not the right way to go.
Speaking of drugs, you know, the marijuana stocks are doing pretty good, some of them anyway. And you know, if the wave comes, eventually you're going to get, you know...
Medical marijuana is legal, but
that's right.
Recreational is some places it is, but they're still having a federal law, which is against
it. Well, it's against it, which is going to be an interesting thing.
It's going to make it interesting. We've got another caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi. I just want to start off saying I love your show.
Thank you.
I absolutely love your show. It's very, very helpful. But I'm going to get really quick with my question. A lot of things happen in my household since last year with the hurricane. We sent for my stepson to move out here from Puerto Rico with us here in Florida. And he is working right now, but he's working at a company where they assigned him a 1099.
Right.
They're not taking any taxes out of his check.
Right.
I don't know exactly how that works, and he's been working with them now a little over a month. And I just want to be able to, you know, make sure that, you know, we do things right with him, you know, being that he's new in the United States from Puerto Rico, and I've never had to deal with 1099.
Well, let me jump into this. This is Vince. On the 1099s, what really... Companies don't, by the way, have an option on this. Either you're an employee or you're not. But the fact that they're giving him a 1099 tells the IRS, at least, that you're not an employee. So what does that mean? You're responsible for all of the taxes on the earnings that you make from that. And that includes Social Security and Medicare. And normally, if you're an employee, you only pay 7.65% comes out of your paycheck. And then the employer, your employer, usually matches that. So that 15.3% of your salary goes into the fund, into your Social Security account. When you're on a 1099 basis, there is no employer because you're considered your own employer.
You're self-employed.
So you're self-employed, so it means you put in the both halves. So you've got a 15.3% tax, and you do get a little bit of a benefit deductible-wise, but it comes out to net about 12% that you're paying in tax for just Social Security. And then there's income tax on top of that. So generally speaking, it's a little more expensive to be an independent contractor getting a 1099 than you would be if you did the same job as an employee getting a W-2.
However,
you can deduct expenses if you're on a 1099 self-employed basis. So things that you had to spend to incur costs to do the job, you get to deduct those things.
And how about health insurance and different types of insurances?
If you're an employee, that's something else because you might get a better deal with your employer if they pay a chunk of the money. If you're self-employed and you pay your own health insurance, you can deduct it, yes, 100%.
And if there's, let's say he has to travel for that job, you can have expenses for traveling if he has to stay overnight.
Although under the new law, there's no benefit to meals and entertainment anymore, so the meals don't count.
I'm sorry if I can interrupt really quick.
Sure.
It's just a little confusing because if that is the case, I mean, he doesn't do any traveling. He doesn't. He's just told to go to this specific warehouse to work, and he does work for them. I mean, he does what they tell him to do. But I mean, I really don't understand.
Well, you said something very interesting, caller, because the IRS has a 20-point kind of checklist of things to determine whether you're in fact an employee or not. And one of the biggest things that they look at is control. So when you say he goes there and they tell him what to do, do they provide him with the tools of the trade? Do they give him a place to work?
Do they tell him what time to show up,
what days of the week to work?
Yeah.
And all those things?
Yeah, it's like a regular job. It's just a regular, you know, 8-to-5 job. He has his hour lunch, just like a actual right. job, but I just don't understand why they.
Well, I can tell you the main reason, caller, why employers do it is to save that 7.65% that I was telling you
about.
They're
saving money.
Plus, if they put him on the payroll as an employee, they're subject to unemployment, the subject of workers' comp, this federal unemployment
and
tax,
and possibly health insurance.
And possibly health insurance if the company has more than 50 employees.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of incentive for employers to call their workers independent contractors. The IRS has been cracking down on this and the severe penalties, but they're focused. And what I've been seeing coming through all the bulletins I'm reading of late in the last year is the IRS is targeting these things for misclassification of workers. So,
but you got a catch 22.
They're not doing them any favors.
Are they paying him a good wage?
Is it more over and above what he
gets? They're paying him $10 an hour. So I mean, so they're like,
that's not a,
you know,
that's not
straight
a,
up.
That's not.
Yeah, he make $80 in a day, and that's it. You know, so yeah. 80 times whatever five, you know, that's how much he makes a week, and that's it. But I want to protect him because I mean, how do we know what to take out and put aside so when he does have to file taxes?
Well, any CPA that can help you to work that out. Because it depends, again, on what his net profit is. If he has no out-of-pocket expenses and he's just collecting this money every time, then you've got to figure if you're in a bracket, let's say you're in a 10 or 15% bracket, so you got 15% would be covered income tax, and then you'd have another 15% for the self-employment tax.
At $10 an hour if he worked the whole year.
Well, if he worked the whole year, you're talking 24 you're talking about 20 grand.
20 grand. So his tax rate will be down.
It'll be down a low rate. It'll be at 10%.
So he's still got to pay Social Security. You've got at least 15% you better start putting aside out of each paycheck.
Oh, at least. I would say
maybe
20
would be smart.
I would say I would put 20 if I were.
So for every week, if he could put 20% in the bank in a separate account when he does file his taxes, he won't be violating.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Now, I'm going to throw something in this equation. Our son happens to be a young father. He has a baby. She's only 6 months old. So how does that play in, you know,
is he married?
I guess his ink. No, he didn't get married.
Okay. Is he the support for that child?
Yeah.
Does he support
because there's within the law there's certain milestones you must reach in order to qualify as a dependent. One of them is support. You're providing more than 50% of the support. The child lives with him.
Does the child live with him?
No, not right now. She's still in Puerto Rico, so that's what we're doing. We sent out for him first because of the hurricane.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was left homeless, so we sent out, and she stayed with her parents where she's better off with them right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, earns a living here and sets a foundation for them so that he can send for them.
Is he going to send for them at some point? When he can afford to bring them?
Yes, I mean, that's definitely the goal. And right now, he is sending some money out there to her and for the baby. But it's just making me nervous because he really doesn't make a whole lot of money. And
right.
Then they gave him a 1099. So I'm like, I'm a little nervous because I'm like, I don't know what to subtract from his check.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
his
I think
check
if you...
is not even that much for me to even take anything out. I feel bad.
Yeah, you make...
I tell you, you left your number here, right? Did you when you
yes,
called him?
I did. Let Vince
talk to you tomorrow off the radio because I think you can counsel her.
Yeah, I can counsel you on what to do with that caller. I mean, it's really, I don't know that he can do much about it. But for me, I'd probably go back to the employer and say, you know, I spoke to my accountant, but
they might fire him.
Yeah, they might fire him. So maybe that's not a great idea.
Yeah.
It's a shame because it's abusive, I think, especially for that level of employee.
The employer is doing the wrong thing, but if he needs the job and he can't get a job normally, does he speak English or no?
very little, but we were blessed. We did, you know, somebody did reach out when they heard that he was a hurricane refugee, and, you know, they helped him out and said, listen, they're hiring here. But, you know, that part, that person did not know that they were working through 1099.
Right, right, right.
So, and then when the kids started working, which was, again, a blessing, because we were afraid he wasn't going to be able to find any job because of lack of English, but he did. Right. And then this, you know, this came about, and then I'm just nervous. I'm like, this, I don't know anything about 1099s. I know you got to pay taxes. I know you need to put away for Social Security.
Let Vince talk to you tomorrow off the radio, and he can counsel you, I think, a little better. Is that okay?
That is perfect. Thank you so much, guys.
Is there a time? Let me ask you this. Are you home all day, or is there a special time you're not home?
No, actually, tomorrow I am off work, but there's going to be certain hours where I'm not going to be available.
Well, if he misses you, you'll leave a number, and then you guys can communicate, but Vince will help you. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Look forward to speaking to you.
1-888-221-8990. We're just about out of time. 888-221-8990. It's a situation, Vince, that it's not a good
situation. I really feel bad for this person because the employer is abusing.
They're violating.
It sounds to me that they're abusing.
Yeah, they're violating.
If he can document that he is sending support, couldn't he then declare the child as dependent?
Yes.
Well, the rules are specific that you're supposed to live at least 6 months of the year in the residence.
Well, it's only been several months, so maybe
he can manage that. Maybe
there
could
be a hurricane exception to that.
Yeah, maybe. I doubt it, but yeah.
But I'm saying off the radio, I think you could counsel better.
Yeah, I could definitely counsel. I'll speak to her in the morning.
Joe, if I may make a quick comment.
Sure.
In regarding an employee or an independent contractor, the key word is who controls the day.
Well, we know the employer is violating. That's the easy part.
Yeah.
But that's got nothing. If he goes in and rocks the boat, they'll fire him. Maybe.
Well, that's a downside. I mean, it's not like
controls the day. If the employee,
yeah, we know that.
Or if the okay.
But that what I'm trying to say, it doesn't make his situation any better.
Right.
Now, if he wants to go turn the employer in, they'll fire him, and now he has to go file a complaint. And now this is going to take 6 months or a year.
And especially when we had the added information about.
It's a problem.
It's a problem.
Yeah. So that's why I say Vince can counsel them better. I think off the radio and just try to manage the situation, because hopefully this young man can. Hey, he's not the first person to have these problems, but they're never good. I think we're almost out of time. We're down to 30 seconds. That's what you call almost out of time.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, by the way, anybody that wants to get information on how to protect money, today is a magic word, because the market is hotter than a pistol and people are scared to death that all of a sudden it might start to go backwards. And at some point, it has to. Nothing has always gone up. You might just give a call and we'll try to get you some information and help you and counsel you a bit. 1-888-221-8990, and I think we are on the...
Out of time?
Would you say we're out of time, Pastor Dave?
You have
4 seconds.
4 seconds.
All right. Well, until next week.
Until next week. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.